coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
Uncertainty, that feeling of not knowing what lies ahead. Dr. Michael Ziegler says the resurrection of Christ has opened up a new and hopeful future for all who trust in the one who calls us by name.
To believe is more than just acknowledging that Jesus is risen from the dead. It includes that, but there's more. It's about where you lay your fears and where you rest your concerns. It has to do with what gets your attention, with what gets you. And so we listen to this story of Jesus, and he gets us. He gets our trust.
That's today on The Lutheran Hour. Hello, I'm Mark Eicher. Thanks for joining us today. Your gifts and prayers help The Lutheran Hour bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Thank you for your faithful support. Now here's our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever gets your attention gets you. That's become my mantra, Eric told me. He read it in a book, and he's been repeating it ever since. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever holds your attention holds you. It was the doctor who got Eric's attention that day when he told him that he most likely had less than 5 years to live. Eric was in his early 40s when he was diagnosed with cancer. And they told him that he had a 50% chance of being dead in 3 years and a 95% chance of not making it another five. And that was 5 years ago. And I asked Eric, what is it like? What is it like not knowing? And he said to me, it's like there's this monster that you can't see, but it can get you at any time. And this thing has come into your life and it's turned your world upside down and you don't know. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And I was thinking about Eric with this pandemic that has become the center of attention. And if there's any truth to his mantra that whatever gets your attention gets you, then this virus has got us. I had asked Eric, what's it like to not know? And a few weeks ago, this was only a theoretical question for me. I didn't know what it was like to feel that. And I don't really know even now what it's like to be in Eric's shoes and to walk where he's walked. But now I have a better idea of what it feels like not to know what tomorrow holds. And you know, your routines have all been thrown in the air, your schedules have been interrupted, and you don't know how bad it's going to get, and you don't know how long it's going to go, and you don't know what the world's going to look like on the other side of this. And I don't either. And so I had to call Eric to deal with this feeling of not knowing what tomorrow holds. I had already recorded this message for this Sunday, for Easter Sunday, but when we listened to it, we realized that the world is different now, that this virus has stolen everyone's attention, and that the message that I had recorded weeks ago wouldn't work. So you have to work ahead with a program like this that's been running for almost 90 years every week, sharing the good news of Jesus in case of a contingency. A contingency like your studio shuts down and you have to record in a basement with a take-home microphone and upload the file to your producer so he can work on it from his basement. That kind of contingency. I've never been through anything like this. That's why I needed to call Eric. I've known Eric for 20 years. And when I called him, he called something to my attention from one of the biographies of Jesus. See, Eric's a follower of Jesus like me, and this is what we do. We're brothers in Christ, and we talk about these biographies of Jesus, and we encourage each other with them. There's four of them, four biographies of Jesus recorded in the New Testament, and collectively they're called the Gospel, which means the good news. And so they are together the good news of Jesus according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they all tell the same story from different perspectives. They all center on this person, this man, Jesus from Nazareth, who is the Son of God. And they all culminate in his crucifixion during the Passover feast and his resurrection from the dead on the day after the Passover Sabbath. They all tell the same story about Jesus. And this is what we do as followers of Jesus. We encourage each other with these stories. And this is what Eric did for me. He called to my attention something in one of those Gospels, the Gospel of John. And I want to tell you what he said, but it's not going to make any sense to you unless you let this Gospel get you. Unless you listen to it, you listen to this story. So this is how it goes in John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, very early, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb where they had laid Jesus after he was crucified. And she sees that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. So she runs and goes to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she says to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Then Peter and the other disciple, they started out to go to the tomb, and now both of them were running together. And the other disciple ran ahead of Peter, and he arrived first at the tomb. And when he looked, he saw the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. And then comes Simon Peter, who was following him, and he went in to the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there and the burial cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. And the other disciple, the one who had reached the tomb first, he also went in. And he saw, and he believed. See, they had not yet known from Scripture that it was necessary for him to rise from the dead. It was necessary for Jesus to rise from the dead. And so the two disciples returned to their homes. But Mary, she stood outside the tomb, weeping. And she leaned over to look into the tomb, and she sees two angels in gleaming white seated in the place where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she says to them, "Because they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him." And at this, she turns, and she sees Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. And he says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are seeking?" And she's supposing that he was the gardener, says to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. And he says to her, Mary. And she turns toward him and says in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And he says to her, don't hold on to me because I have not yet gone up to the Father. But you go to my brothers and you say to them, I am going up to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples announcing, I have seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. And she told them that he said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and he stood among them and he says, peace. Peace be with you. And he showed them his hands and his side, the nail marks in his hands and the place in his side where they had pierced him with a spear. And the disciples, they were overjoyed to see the Lord. And he says to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And with this, he breathed on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. Now, Thomas is one of the 12. He was called Didymus, the twin. He wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. But Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and unless I put my finger in the place where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will never believe. 1 week later, when the disciples were again together, and Thomas was with them, Jesus comes, though the doors were locked. And he says to them, peace be with you. And to Thomas, he says, put your finger here. See? My hands. Stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and trust. And Thomas, he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says to him, because you have seen me, you believe, you trust. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet still they believe, still they trust. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may believe, so that you may trust that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, by trusting, you would have life in his name. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. Eric told me, I basically spent the last 5 years figuring out that Jesus is trustworthy. I've spent the last 5 years learning that Jesus is trustworthy. And this is what he pointed out to me. This is what he called to my attention in John's Gospel. It's that last sentence in chapter 20, when John tells you the reason he wrote the book, the purpose. Why did he write it? He says, so that you may have life, true life, not just this mortal life, not this life plagued by sin and sickness and death, but true life, eternal life with God. And how do you get this life in Jesus' name? John tells you, by hearing this story, by listening to his word, by letting it get your attention, so that God's Spirit would work in you to bring you to trust in Jesus, to believe in him. See, this verb, believe, in the New Testament, it means more than just acknowledging that something is factually true. So, for example, I can say that I acknowledge that it's true that the sun is about 93 million miles away from the earth. I acknowledge the factual truth of that, but that fact doesn't hold my attention. But this verb, to believe, in the New Testament, is more than just acknowledging that Jesus is risen from the dead. It includes that, but there's more. It's about where you lay your fears and where you rest your concerns. It's about how you see the world and how you organize your life. It has to do with what gets your attention, with what gets you. And so we listen to this story of Jesus, and he gets us. He gets our trust. Trusting Jesus doesn't mean that you have nothing to do. No, trusting Jesus means being sent by Jesus. Trusting Jesus involves you in his work to heal and to forgive and to bring people to God. Trusting Jesus involves taking God's world seriously and taking seriously its present condition. It means doing all that you can to help, even if that just means staying home for a while. And when you're at home, and you're restless, and you're tossing and turning in the middle of the night, and there's this monster, and you're locked behind your fears, what gets your attention? Who gets your attention? Eric told me that during these last 5 years, when he's been treated for cancer, at one point he got the clear sense that God was speaking directly to him. He said his name. He said, "Eric, you're either going to trust you or you're going to trust me." And Eric confessed. He said, "If I have to have science fix this disease for me and solve it for me, then I am going to be a basket case, because where I'm at, science doesn't have any answers. And so I'm either going to go nuts because I realize that I don't have any control over my life and what happens tomorrow, or I can trust that I have a God who controls the world, who has sent Jesus for me, who has defeated death for me, and he knows my name." Eric says that he's had dozens of surgeries over these last 5 years. And the worst part is when you wake up. Because when you wake up, you're in pain, and you don't know what's going on, and you're confused, and there's strangers all around you, and you're freaking out. And Eric says, that's when he hears this one voice. And this one voice gets his attention. It's his wife, Sarah. She's always there. She touches him and she says, "Eric, I'm right here." She says his name. And this is the other thing that Eric brought to my attention in that last chapter of John. It's when Jesus said Mary's name. That's what got her. That's what got her attention. See, Mary was freaking out. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know what the world was going to look like on the other side of this. Death had her attention. Death had her in its grip. And she couldn't even see Jesus, even though he was standing right there in front of her. She couldn't see Jesus until he said her name. Jesus, the Messiah, is risen from the dead. And he knows your name. He loves you. He forgives you all your sins. He leads you. He protects you. And he will raise you from the dead. He's here for you. Even when you can't see him, even when all you can see is this sick and broken world that is longing for him to come again and make all things new. Even when you can't see him, you know that he's there. You know he's there because he sends his people, his followers. He sent you my voice today. And he sends others to you. And his people know your name. And he says to you, hey, I've got you. I've called you by name so that you can have life in mine. If you're willing, I invite you to pray to him with me. Jesus, you died for me, and now you live. You live to silence all my fears. You live to wipe away my tears. You live to calm my troubled heart. You live all blessings to impart. I trust you, Jesus. You've got me. Amen.
Listening to the Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, our mobile app, and more, go to LutheranHour.org.
Today is risen, Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today is Risen Christ the Lord. Music for Easter from the recording Heirs of the Reformation by Concordia Publishing House.
Taught by our Lord and trusting in His promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you peace. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.